Right. The first style of tests we want to talk about deals with the qualification and demonstration testing. Now, there's a variety of ways that can be done using simple binomial type formulas to say if it runs, if three systems run for so many hours, that we'll accept that. That's the criteria by which we will say it's qualified. And you can predefine these and run the test and run it off of that. But there's always a balance to how many samples and how well does that sample represent your future population. What can you afford with testing and how can you evaluate these things? So one of the most efficient tests is this PRST. And I did take a quick moment to look it up. And let me look at my notes. It's the probability ratio sequential test. And we'll get into what that really is here in a moment. It's a fancy name. I've also heard it called just sequential testing. And so here's a graphic of what is one of the results of a sequential test design. So part of the idea here is that if I'm running just as, say, a binomial test that has 10 samples, and if I have two fail, then I know with 90% confidence that I'm not at some level of reliability. It's a pass-fail test based on whether I have two or more failures or not out of the setup and conditions I have. Well, sometimes I can balance the criteria of where I say this is acceptable and get a more powerful test so that I can distinguish between a good meeting the reliability requirements or not, distinguishing the specifics of the failure rate more precisely. And so the sequential testing basically takes that binomial equation and says, if I'm running long enough and I have a failure, this is the number of failures on this vertical axis. So if I've run for, say, 2 weeks and have my first failure, I can still, it doesn't create a situation where I know the lot is below or above my rejection, my acceptance region or rejection region. So if it runs long enough without any failures, it crosses this line, and I know that the product is going to meet our reliability requirements with some probability, with some confidence. But if I have one failure and it runs for a while, it has to run longer before it hits that acceptance region, accept region. So if it doesn't make that, it has another failure, it has to run even longer. On the other hand, if the product fails right away, let's say it has to have two failures, it crosses into a rejection region. And each of these lines that are on this plot are defined by relatively straightforward formulas that relate to your confidence in what kind of detection you want the test to achieve. But if I have just a number of failures right away, I quickly cross into the rejection region and know I am not going to meet the requirements. But on the other hand, if it runs for a while and has a failure, it takes a bit longer and longer and more failures before it crosses into the rejection region, before I can say definitively that it's not a good design or it's not reliable enough for our purposes. So theoretically, you could walk right down the middle of this by failing just frequently enough to stay within this unknown band, this undeterminate group or region that we're not sure if it's good enough and we're not sure it's bad enough yet to be clear. So that while that's possible, what we do to safeguard that is we say, well, what's the time truncated line and what's the failure truncated line? So they're all together, there's four formulas. The definition of where the acceptance region exists, the definition of where the rejection region exists, the time truncated segment, and the failure truncated segment. So you can do it with just these two lines, have them go out far enough that, but there is a possibility that you'll not cross the line for some time. So it's usually prudent when you're designing one of these to put in the truncation lines so that you have this rather complex shape of some polygon of some sort that defines how you interpret your test. Now, you might be asking why to go through all this bother and create with using four different equations and creating all these lines is that it uses over time, in general, sequential testing gives you the most ability to detect the difference between an acceptable performance and not unacceptable performance with the fewest samples. So if the product's really, really bad, it fails right away. If it's really, really good, it's the shortest possible time to show that. Whereas that if it's really close between the two, it has room to explore whether it really is a good group, a good design, or it's reliable or it's not. Now, this is not only useful for reliability testing, it can be used for all kinds of different things. But one is where I've used it most often is in reliability evaluations for a product. So in the notes, I believe I've written an article on this, so I'm pretty sure I can link up a set of notes that go through the formulas in a couple of sample exams. And certainly we'll come back to another recording in using those formulas to create this test plan in detail. So talked about that time terminated, but you could design a test that is nothing but time terminated. Earlier when we were talking, I think, and I'm drawing a blank as to which lesson it was at the moment, but when dealing with MTBF and setting up a different data analysis, we also looked at whether we were evaluating time terminated or failure terminated types of data. And some of those equations are the same as what we use here to design a test. So in some cases, you can use the Mill Handbook 108, which talks about setting up these tests and has those formulas, or you can use the formulas directly. It's pretty straightforward using the chi-squared. And these are those ones with the, remember the equations using chi-squared where the degrees of freedom changed, whether I had time terminated or failure terminated evaluations? Well, those are the equations for this. Now you can, like I said, you can run an entire test that just is waiting for a certain number of failures to occur. It's usually more prudent to do the PRST because then you can, one, get more power and effectively use fewer samples. So the time terminated or failure terminated alone tests are a little bit more conservative, but also not as distinguishing between good and bad against whatever criteria you're evaluating. Now, besides using Mill Handbook 108, there are many other approaches that are much more powerful from a statistics point of view, meaning they're more useful in distinguishing and designing tests more efficiently. So if you're doing product testing, what else do you need to know? What else is important as you're setting up and evaluating a product for its reliability performance? And I'll leave that open-ended, and I'm pretty sure I'm keeping the comment section open for each of the lessons. So you could drop a note in there so it pertains directly to this lesson, or in the class form, either one would be appropriate. But let's take a look at what else you need as you look at designing a product test. So in the next one, we'll take a look at a particular way of doing test design, and it's called success testing. And I think I mentioned it previously, is being based on the binomial distribution, but it provides a minimum number of samples that have to run without failure for some period of time in order to basically demonstrate that your product is reliable enough.